Welcome to Life and Love Nuggets, where licensed therapists Brent and Janice Sharp share how you can thrive in your life, your love, and your relationships. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Life and Love Nuggets. We're glad that you're with us and listening in. To welcome you back, and welcome Janice back.
Thank you.
Last couple times I did with our son, and
it was a great break for me.
Okay, good.
You know, Grammys, or Mrs. Claus, as I call myself, does a lot of hard work in December,
yes,
and so deserves January to actually crash for a while.
All right.
So it was a good break,
good.
I don't know. We said anything in past podcasts, but every 5 years, we always do a fun anniversary trip.
Yes.
And this was our 45th anniversary. We delayed it because we were very busy. Our anniversary's in May. But the first week of December, we went to Paris.
We did.
Yes, and not Texas. Paris, France.
It was quite a treat.
It was
Christmas
an adventure.
Christmas in Paris was pretty sweet.
It was, but it made December a little bit busier than normal.
Yeah, a lot of wonderful memories there. So today we're, again, glad that you're with us. And we're doing a podcast, we're just saying, about people.
it's just about people.
Yeah, adults and their parents and their adult kids. I don't know about you, but my goodness, I have a lot of people coming to my office.
I do.
Parents.
Yes.
Our generation, a little younger, a little older. Mm-hmm. And then adult kids trying to know what to do with the other side.
How to navigate this. It's quite a transition.
Yeah. Parents got going, they're not doing right. They're making decisions. What do I do about that? And the kids going, they're still trying to parent me like I'm 12. And so this is a common phenomenon in our world.
It is.
So we hope to explore this from a number of different angles. There's lots of complexities to this. This is not a simple little thing in kind of parent-child relationships and how to navigate through time and different life phases. So we're not sure exactly how long this is going to last, this series. We know at least two or three or whatever. And so
Brenda's actually going to be flexible with this.
Oh my gosh.
And allow us to just kind of flow and see what happens.
Freaking me out. My Enneagram oneness. So I encourage you, if you have any questions or comments, we'd love to, in the middle of this series, to email them to us and maybe things that we could respond to.
Yeah. Really, in this series, what we want to talk about is helping parents, of course, make the transition when their children become adults instead of children in their home, and accepting them for who they are as adults. We're also going to be talking at some point in this series about how do you accept your parents as people? You know, as we mature, we begin to realize, oh, I always saw them through the lens of mom and dad, but they're people too. And so that's a transition that adult children need to make. What expectations do we have? I think everybody can be thinking about this over this series. What expectations do we have of our adult children? How involved are they going to be with us? And what expectations do we have of our parents? Maybe even their role as grandparents, or how much time we spend together. You know, that's a very interesting one because you usually marry someone pretty different than you are. And sometimes what we see is whether you're enmeshed with your family or more detached or different or distant, oftentimes those two marry. So one of them is like, of course we're going to have lunch with my parents every Sunday, because that's what we do. Right. And the other one is going to be like, okay, could we get them to quit just stopping by the house anytime they want and not calling ahead of time?
So we're starting kind of this conversation with looking at the overarching purpose of parenting. Our purpose is to raise healthy, responsible, independent adults.
Functioning adults.
Yeah, highly functioning. We don't want our 40-year-olds in the basement. That's not the goal, is we want them to launch. And I would say that ultimately, as parents, we're trying to work ourselves out of a job. I say that to clients all the time, is I'm here to help and coach you, but success in my business as a counselor is working myself out of a job where you don't need me anymore, that you're doing well on your own. That is the goal of parenting. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't stand alongside them and cheer them on and encourage them. And if they ask for input, certainly mm-hmm. we respond. But our role of training and disciplining and proactively guiding them is eventually done. And we have to recognize that there is that season for that to be done.
So some of the things that I hear from parents of adult children are, this isn't how I thought it was going to be. Why do I offend my children? I'm just trying to help them. Why do they think that's offending or that's none of my business? Or why aren't we spending as much time together as I thought we would? Is something wrong? And then there's some that say, why is my adult child still living with me? Mm-hmm. Which is a challenge, as you said, in and of itself. But again, our goal is to raise healthy, independent, functioning adults. And most of our children become adults and become independent and functioning on their own. But there are some challenges that we have.
Even if it's not smooth.
Yes.
They eventually get there.
Yes. Is any transition in life smooth?
No. No.
But this transition can be rocky for a lot of people. One of the things that we're hearing a lot is the children of this generation, the adult children, boy, I got to come up with a word for that. It seems to take them longer to become adults. I have a theory about that that I'll talk about later that has to do with their parenting. Mm. But they tend to be adulting later than almost any other generation. We have to be careful in how we look at them, how we talk about, you're not maturing as fast. That never goes well.
No.
Yeah, that doesn't go well.
Don't say that.
Yes. But we also have to look at, just because we raised our kids doesn't mean they're going to grow up to be just like us.
Right.
They have their own opinions. They've experienced other things. And we didn't raise kids to become cookie cutters of us. But sometimes that's startling for the parent. It's like, how can you believe that? Or how can you do that? Or how can you keep your house this way? I thought it would be more like this. But we want them to be who they are. That's our goal, is to help them be exactly
who they are. In some ways, we do want them to be cookie cutter because we think our way's right. But we're suggesting this is not going to happen, is not a healthy, if you hold on to that, you're going to be pretty miserable. And not really then valuing and seeing the wonder in different ways of living in the world.
Yeah. But it's hard for parents because sometimes they'll go, well, they're not doing things right. Meaning they're not doing things my way. So that parenting transition is a challenge. Because for 20 years, our job was to feed, clothe them, help them with all their decisions, get them where they needed to go. We were really invested in their lives. And now we have to let go. Our job has changed. And so we have to accept the fact that our old job description doesn't fit anymore.
That's right. That's good.
We need to come up with a new job description of how we interact with our kids and recognize the old things aren't going to work anymore. Jim Burns has a great book. It's called Doing Life with Your Adult Children or Your Adult Child. And then I think it says, leave the doormat out and shut up or something like that, which we always
smile
say.
Yeah.
We always say that's what we tell people that have adult children. Your job is to just shut up, smile and nod and encourage them.
Right. Yeah. So in healthy parenting, we gradually give over more and more and more responsibility to them. And we have less involvement in decision-making as they become adults. Now, this will probably be easier for them than it is for the parents.
Yeah.
They are longing to be independent. That's what the energy in their life has been moving towards. Mm-hmm. And the parents are still feel like, well, I'm still the parent. I'm not really changed. And so it's going to be more difficult. And if we can work on some of that change in us, that's going to be a much better ride for our kids. And you'll be less confronted.
Yes.
Eventually, if you can work on that transition.
You might get more texts.
Yeah. It is a major shift in the relationship and in a sense of purpose in parenting. And so it takes time to adapt. There's no perfect way to do this. We are not suggesting we'll step one, step two, step three, and you're done. It's simple. Mm-hmm. So give yourself grace, each side.
Yes.
Give both sides grace and give us some time to adapt to these changing roles. And so we're going to talk in the future about navigating boundaries and roles. And just know that it's normal for this to be awkward, mm-hmm. for it to be, I was going to say this, and then I catch myself, or I said it, and I go, sorry,
that didn't go
guys.
Well.
trials and errors, and if both sides can be gracious to each other and just even acknowledge this, guys, we're going through something different here. This is going to be hard. We love each other, care for each other. Let's figure this out together and allow for mistakes.
Yeah. But, you know, as the kids are forming new lives, so are the parents.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is their opportunity to say, we've spent at least 2 decades, if not more, I think we did 3 decades mm-hmm. in raising kids. And so now we get to have a new life too. And so we can take a look at what kind of life do we want for us? Mm-hmm. So as they're blossoming, we're blossoming in our own way in positive things. When we're relating to our kids, you know, as always, we need to recognize that different kids have different needs. So some people are going to want to talk to you every day, either parent or child. Mm-hmm. Others, once a week is good for them. Once every 2 weeks, and they're fine. Mm-hmm. When we talk about parenting, we talk about children, raising children is like a flower garden. Mm-hmm. And you've got some that you can just ignore, and they're fine. Everything's fine. You have others, like impatience in your yard, that if you aren't constantly watering them and encouraging them, they start to wilt.
They look like they're dead.
Yes, and you're like, what'd I do? And then you have some that will take over the garden. Mm. And so you kind of have to prune them back. We have to recognize who our kids are, but realize we no longer have the responsibility of doing all of those things. Mm-hmm. You can't cut back one that's taking over the garden at this point. Mm-hmm. That's not your role anymore. So it's accepting this is their life and not mine. And I can let them be who they want to be. It really is loving them enough to let them go. The greatest love that you can give your kids, I think, is to let them go, to be who they are, and to be there, to accept them and to be encouraging to them, whether you agree with the things they're doing or not. Because they still want your support. They still want your approval. And if you can encourage them without being a teacher or a judge, without doing those teachable moments right. that we did when they were little, right. then your relationship is going to be more solid, and they're going to be more likely to see you as a consultant and to say, Mom, Dad, what should I do about this?
Those are the magic words.
They are.
But we have to wait for them.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Because we can't mentor them unless they want us to.
Yes. Yeah. We oftentimes say, well, I have parents go, well, I could help them. If I could just mentor them, then I could help guide them. And but have you ever had anybody try to mentor you and you didn't ask them?
Mm-hmm.
We've all had relationships where all of a sudden somebody steps into they now know the answer and they know better and they're trying to guide us, and we were like, I didn't ask for that. It doesn't work. They have to ask. And so it's something we have to wait for the invitation, and at whatever level it might be. I know, and with some of our kids, they're just, you know, I may get a call about how to fix the house,
mm-hmm.
and I'm wondering, well, did they want to ask me about that other thing? but just respond at the level. And every time they do call about that, I'm going, oh, I am needed still.
You know? Yeah.
And step into that role and just let the relationship be secure. That sets up the potential for if there is something mm-hmm. bigger or more important, then they might be free to ask that. So again, we always say, we'll just reiterate it. Best thing you can do as a parent of an adult child is shut up and smile. And so they will make mistakes. We have to let them make mistakes. We have to let natural consequences mm-hmm. are the best teacher now.
Yes.
We have released them.
I was going to say, if you're really dying to be a mentor and it's just killing you that you can't do that, then check in the community or check in your church. There are always young people that are saying, I just want a mentor. So maybe you can use those skills, focus them there so you can keep having a good relationship with your kids and they will come home
good
for
idea.
Christmas.
Yes.
Because you're not mentoring them. So we're going to be caring, of course, because they're our kids, but we want to be careful that we don't enable dependency. You know, there's a difference between caring and enabling. We want them to be independent, and so that means we have to let them be independent in all areas of their lives. Financial, emotional, relationships, some of their actions, their growth and their development. We have to let them have their own lives and let them take responsibility for all the things that are going on. So we don't go in and say, I looked at your bank account and I'm going to give you $2,000. We step back and let them learn how to deal with the consequences.
Or the worst part is, I saw your bank account. Why are you spending all your money on those things?
That's
right. Why are you letting your bank account be low?
Maybe if you didn't go to Starbucks so much, you would be able to come on the family vacation. Yeah. You know, a lot of people are so concerned, I've heard over the years, about kids becoming entitled. Mm-hmm. And so they'll say, oh, this generation is so entitled. Well, I don't think people get entitled because their parents are loving and caring. And even I don't think they're entitled because they get a participation award, which I know is controversial. But they're entitled when they're ineligible for a sport because they didn't turn a paper in. And so mom and dad go into the teacher and talk and talk and talk to them until they get that somehow waived. Mm-hmm. So the kid gets to play in the game, but they don't get the consequences of their actions. Or parents that are doing their science fair project for them while the kid sleeps so they can get a good grade. That's enabling them and not allowing them to fail. And we have to allow them to fail at some time so that they'll learn the consequences of that. Now, it doesn't mean that if your kindergartner didn't give you the permission from their backpack, you don't say, right. Well, these are natural consequences, honey.
Right, right.
I'm afraid you're not going to be able to go on the field trip.
Yeah.
You have to recognize their maturity level.
Yes, yes, yes.
But we don't want to bail people out when they can really have learning opportunities.
So you're suggesting that we parents actually caused that problem. If kids are feeling entitled, then we've actually maybe set that up.
And I do think that's part of why some people say that about millennials. And we'll talk later about Gen X parents. But I do think Gen X parents were so involved that sometimes they were helicopter parents. And so the kids naturally became entitled because of that. It's the way they were raised. I remember, I'm not a millennial or a Gen Xer. But I remember one time my dad was saying something to me about, well, you're spoiled. And I said, well, you're the one that spoiled me. And he started laughing. And it's true.
Yes, yes, yes.
We do have an impact on them. So we have to gradually allow them some control of their lives from a young age in small ways and have those consequences so they can learn how to function as a healthy adult.
I had a couple one time where they had a teenager becoming an adult and they were wanting counseling for all of them. And I just met with a couple and we were talking about how do you make the transition from allowing them to be more of an adult and how do you communicate differently? And I kept talking and talking and I had them back for another session, And eventually they were like, you haven't asked for our child to come in. I said, no. I said, we're talking about things that you can change to really change that whole system. And they said, this is a little bit like our dog trainer. Our dog trainer never needed to see the dog. It was just what we needed to do. And I said,
so
a little
funny.
Bit like that.
I also tell the story of how many people I've had come in that their child didn't pass. Well, they went to their freshman year of college, but they didn't get a GPA.
Yeah.
And I'll always ask the parents, the day they moved to college, who woke them up? And they'll smile and go, well, I always go in and kind of scratch his back to wake him up in the morning. Well, he didn't know how to wake up on his own. And he went to college and he didn't wake up on his own. Let's just put it that
way. Yeah, that's right.
But back to the parent.
Yes.
Letting go of our kids involves grief. It's a natural process. I remember the first day that our kids were, I don't know, all in school or gone or whatever. And I thought, I don't have to rush home. I've always had to be home at a certain time because they were going to get home from school. And so it was good, but yet it was kind of a strange thing. It's an emptiness. It's a difference. You parent them for 20 years, and then all of a sudden you're supposed to step back. So it's recognizing we're going to have grief involved.
Yeah, it can be strange, hard. Any change requires some grief. Mm-hmm. And but it can also lead to some new beginnings if we manage it well. Letting our children go and letting our dreams for our children go must be counted as one of those necessary losses mm-hmm. in life. And when we deal with a loss, we've got to grieve that and grieve that well. And so if we don't know how to manage the discouragement or the anger or the whatever those are, then a lot of times that'll spill over on our kids and it'll cause harm or our spouses or whoever. And so now we're not going to go into the details of grief. We've done a whole section on that, right. But all of that applies. This is one of those losses of life. And it's, gosh, I was more needed and they don't need me anymore. That's a loss. Or they've made a choice or they didn't. I always thought they were going to be, you know, this and mm-hmm. go to school for this. And they chose something different. And so if we're not grieving that well, then that's going to cause some problems. So we're going to end this particular section with what we think is probably one of the most important things that we can work on with actually, this is both ways,
yes.
but particularly for the parents mm-hmm. with their adult children. It's how we communicate to them. Remember, you are the adults that told them when they were doing something wrong, corrected them. You gave them consequences. Even though they are adults now and you're trying to release them, your words are very powerful. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not trying to be critical or corrective, they might hear it that way. And so we need to be, first of all, aware of that. But there's a really powerful principle that I think if we can get our arms around and understand, can really help us adjust the way that we are interacting with our children. There's a communication principle that suggests that every one of us has three different parts of our personality. We have a parent part of our personality, an adult part of our personality, and a child part of our personality. And so if I were writing this up on a board, I would put parent.
Which you wish you could do.
I wish I could. Mm-hmm. Have parent up to the left, you know, top left, and you'd put adult underneath that, then you would put child underneath that. The parent we call the critical parent. This is the judgmental, critical part of us. And now remember, all of us, whether we're 5 or 50, have all three of these, okay? The adult is logical and reasoning, and child is either compliant or rebellious. So we have all three of those parts in us. But whoever we're communicating with, so if you think about your adult child, they have a parent, adult, and child in them. And so on the right side of the page, you could put parent at the top, adult in the middle, and child below. And so you've got these two corresponding individuals with these three parts in them. If we are communicating from our parent, which is critiquing, correcting, judging, we are always communicating. There would be an arrow going from the parent, of the person on the left, down to the child. On the other side, we are always communicating to their child. Mm-hmm. Now, what we want is compliance.
They should do things my way.
Right? I mean, that's the goal here, okay? And if they were 5 and you said, Johnny, go in and brush your teeth. I did, Daddy. No, you didn't. You haven't even been close to the bathroom. March in there, young man, and brush your teeth. But that's a reasonable thing to say to a 5-year-old. Mm-hmm. But if that's the main way we communicate to them when they're 15, and particularly if they're 25, mm-hmm. who we're correcting and judging, critiquing. Now, again, we want compliance. And at 5, it's reasonable to expect that. But at 15 or 25, we will start pricking rebellion.
Yeah.
And they will run away from us. We'll do one of two things. They will either fight or flight. So you can imagine an arrow from the child part, the one on the right side below, goes off to the right edge of the page. Okay. Mm-hmm. They'll rebel. So this might be the 15-year-old. I mean, they can't live on their own, but they come in and they disconnect from the family. They just go up in their room and don't really talk to anybody, and you try to get them to open up, and they just won't hardly say anything. Well, they're rebelling. And when we have parents bring their children in that, quote, are rebelling, I always go, okay, how are you communicating to them? You're probably triggering that. And so either they will flight or they will fight.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll, again, I wish I had a board with an arrow, you know, from the bottom right child, they'll kind of circle up to their parent and they'll try to parent you. You guys are so strict. You're so unfair. Joey's parents aren't worried about us driving to Dallas or, mm-hmm. you know, 5 hours away or whatever. Because, you know, he's had his permit, you know, and just got his license. He's had his license for 3 months, and they're not worried about us all going together. And you guys are just so strict. Well, what they want from you, so there's an arrow from their parent down to your child. They want you to comply.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Oh, we're so picky.
We are so picky and so strict about this. Well, that's not going to happen. So we slip up into our parent. We try to parent them some more. Don't talk to me that way, young man. As long as you're listening, you're under this roof, you're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they slip up into their parent and they try to parent you. And if you can envision, it turns into a circle eight. We've got two people trying to parent each other. This is horrible. This will never work. It is a mess. We have a lot of married couples that are trying to parent each other, but it certainly is it's a broken system with as a parent with an adult child.
Mm-hmm.
If you are just consistently trying to correct and change and guide and whatever, just expect you're going to get fight or flight. They just won't show up anymore. They won't come for the holiday. They won't call much. It's like, why won't they come back? You know, or whatever.
Or they're around, but they talk surface level.
Yes.
They don't go any deeper with you because they don't feel safe.
Don't feel safe.
They feel like you're going to correct them.
So they flight again, or they fight and they get snippy. And then that'll trigger you. And then you get snippy back and just horrible. Okay.
Yes.
So what do we do about that? So the key is if we can, when we're communicating, we're talking about parents and their adult children in particular, if we can move to our adults, which is logical and reasoning, and communicate from our adults, we're always communicating to their adults. And it has the best chance mm-hmm. of them responding in an adult-like fashion. I always tell the adult children, if your parent is still trying to parent you, if you will try not to fight or flight and move into your adult and communicate adult-like back.
Respectfully.
Mm-hmm. In a way that says, Dad, I feel like I'm kind of being talked to like I'm 12. You know, I think this is a decision that I feel like I'm supposed to be making, and I feel like mm-hmm. I'm being corrected all the time. That's a respectful, an adult kind of response.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the parent can communicate that, you know, everybody came over for the holidays and you know, somebody brought some alcohol that the parents weren't comfortable with or whatever. And to be able to sit down and say, can we talk about something? We didn't quite know what to do, you know, at the Christmas Eve party when a whole boatload of alcohol was brought in. You know, we really didn't have that in the home, and we were frustrated we weren't communicated about that, and we just like to talk about this and figure out what do we do about this next.
Good.
Those are all good, healthy, appropriate,
yes.
adult-like conversations. And so whichever side you're on, whoever's listening to this, if you can move to that adult, and we don't have the time to unpack all of that in great detail. This is similar to some of the principles we talked about in the conflict resolution
mm-hmm.
section.
Communication. Mm-hmm.
Communication. I tell people, If you want a quick study in this, now I'm not, this is a little oversimplistic, but if you want a quick study in this, if you can simply think about how would I say this and eliminate the words you and yours from your sentences. Because why did you do that? And you did this. And why are you doing this? You're criticizing me, or you brought this in the home, or whatever. It always makes the person the problem, and we'll get fight or flight for them. If we say, when this happened, I was frustrated, or when I get spoken to this way, or when this happened at the Christmas party, this is my experience with that. That moves the whole relationship, adult to adult, and that's what we want. We have adults now. Everybody's adult.
Everybody's
is an adult now.
Yeah.
And we want to nurture those kind of conversations. Yeah. And so I've had couples practice that. I've had some parents with their adult kids that are just, everything has gotten real sensitive. I say, take some time. If you need to talk to them about a specific issue, take some time, go to your computer, write it out, type out what you want to say, count how many you words you use, go back and rephrase all those. Mm-hmm. Sit down with them. Be very careful. It's worth being careful. If you're careful, it shows respect both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it will draw the relationship together. Yes. And we will be able to go into this next amazing season of adults standing beside each other, encouraging each other and helping each other in a way that we can really thrive.
Yeah.
So that's one practical step on how we can maneuver through this.
And this is something we're going to be covering later on, but also means that adult children can't parent their parents as they get into old age.
Oh, that's good.
And I do. I have people who will come to me and say, so when do I take over? When do I make decisions? Because I'm really worried about them being in that house, or mm-hmm. when do I take the car keys away? So those are things we old people, our words kind of get mixed up. It's just the thought they're going to take my car keys away.
That's right.
Those are things we're going to talk about in future podcasts.
Yeah. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk about some generational things next time. Then we're going to follow up with some more practical, simple strategies on how to nurture this new season of life.
Yes.
And so for today, we trust that you go in peace. Blessings as you go.
Life and Love Nuggets podcast should not be considered or used for counseling, but for educational purposes only.